Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15. I desire that we read first 8 verses with the help of the Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This far I desire that we read with the help of the Lord. And now, let us bow down and worship the Lord and unite our hearts in prayer and praise to God. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, as we are gathered around Thy holy word, we desire to worship Thee, O Lord, to worship Thee through Christ, our Redeemer, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And therefore, O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou, in Thy Spirit, in the Spirit of Christ, Thy Holy Son, may guide us and protect us. O Lord God Almighty, Thou inspire us. Thou grant us a heart open to Thy holy word and a mind truly given to the light that from Thy throne on high is shining upon us. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, that ability and the privilege and the blessing of worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. Holy Father, Thou art God and there is none other. To Thee belong our life and living, our desires and our efforts. All that we have, O Lord, other than our weaknesses and shortcomings, every good gift, every blessing, all came from Thee. Thou art God of our creation, Thou art Lord of our salvation. To Thee belong worship and praise, honor and glory is Thine, O Lord. Every knee shall bow before Thee, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, Thy beloved one, Thine only begotten one, is to Thy name's honor and glory. And we also, Heavenly Father, desire in our weak hearts to confess, to acknowledge that all the glory and honor belong to Thee through Christ, our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge before Thee, O Heavenly Father, that we are, according to the flesh, children of Adam. Of ourselves, we have been no better than the multitudes of the human race that do not worship Thee. Only thy grace, O Heavenly Father, has removed us from darkness. Only thy goodness and mercy has brought us to the feet of the greatest teacher, our blessed Redeemer. Only thou hast opened our hearts and minds to thy word, our ears to thy voice, so that we might hear and by the power of thy Spirit be risen from the dead into that new life in Christ. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that thou fill our hearts with gratitude and love. As thou hast loved us even so much that thou hast sent thy beloved Son to be our Savior, our Redeemer, to lay down his life upon the altar for our redemption. Thou, O Heavenly Father, grant us that same love, that we may lay down our lives upon the altar of that holy faith, even at the feet of our great High Priest. That we may, O Heavenly Father, with the deepest gratitude and the highest reverence, daily turn our hearts and minds to Thee and offer up our life and living and give to Thee and give to Christ our all. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Almighty God, King of Kings, Thou art worthy to be King of Kings in our hearts as well. Thou art not a beggar to plead for a portion of our heart. Thou art asking, O Heavenly Father, our whole heart and mind, our soul and body, our daily walk before thy holy face, our all to be thine. And rightly so, Father, for to thee belong all that we have. Thou art our Creator and thou art our Savior. O Lord God Almighty, thou art asking all of us that we might receive all that we need from thee. That our whole life be filled with thy presence, thy rulership, thy guidance and instruction, thy protection. That we may have that true fellowship in the spirit of love and peace, in the spirit of true holiness, righteousness, godliness. That thy Spirit may dwell in our hearts and rule our lives and direct every step in the footprints of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, as thou art lovingly, patiently and kindly leading us and protecting us, grant to us also that same loving kindness, that we also may extend brotherly and sisterly hands to one another, and that we join hand in hand, holding firmly to thy guiding and protecting hand, O Lord. Thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, that unity in Christ, not the unity of the world that never lasted long, and in its best ended up in disaster. But thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, the unity of thy Spirit, that in the midst of this noisy world around us has that deep inner peace. Peace of thy forgiveness, peace of loving and forgiving the others. Thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, purity of heart, clear understanding of Thy Holy Word. Make our soul free from vanity and pride, selfishness, free from ego. Make us true worshippers of Thy holy name. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, Thou continually purify our hearts, sanctify our souls, illuminate our minds. Make us true branches on that vine that is only Thine. True disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Thou lead us and teach us to follow. Thou protect us and teach us to be cautious. Thou encourage us and grant us patience and restraint. Glorious and loving Heavenly Father, as Thou hast instructed us that we should bear much fruit, Lord God Almighty, we pray that Thou bless us and strengthen us, and that Thou give us that privilege and the joy of bearing fruits every day more. As we walk in the footsteps of the Savior, Thou, O Lord God, keep us from slackness and grant us to walk a little more vigorously, faster and closer to the Redeemer. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, teach us Thou to do Thy will, and to do it willingly, to do Thy will with joy, to be filled with gratitude, for Thou, O Heavenly Father, hast the power to create new worlds, and yet Thou hast desired to save the world that was lost. O Lord God Almighty, teach us to thank and to praise Thee from the depth of our hearts for Thy willingness to use us in Thy service, in Thy ministry, even though we are not worthy of Thy calling. And grant us also that abundant grace of Thine, that we may extend that invitation, that we may proclaim Thy calling everywhere around us, spreading the seed of kindness, the seed of truth, the seed of Thy holy word, the seed of life. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, if it be as Thou hast said that it will be, in the days before Thy coming, as it was in the days of Noah, gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou keep us from weariness and grant us zeal, courage, and endurance to proclaim Thy gospel until the last moment, until the door be closed. So, if there be no one to believe, if there be none to turn unto Thee, O Lord, that we may continue in Thy goodness and grace, doing Thy good pleasure, for Thy word is unto salvation to those that believe, and condemnation of every unbelief. And if it be so as Thou hast said it will be, as in the days of Lot, if those that should keep Thy light high and above the earthly things, if they mingle with the world, Thou keep us, O Heavenly Father. Keep us from the pollution of the world. Grant us that purity and holiness of our Lord and Savior, that we may discern between good and evil, and everything that is not pleasing Thee to be unacceptable, ugly to our soul also. And all that is Thy good pleasure to be our longing, our desire, our striving, and our joy to fulfill that. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, save the lost. Heal the sick ones. O Father, Thou give strength to the weak. Thou raise the dead. Thou give comfort to those that are sad. Thou, O Heavenly Father, help in the strife of those that are striving. Thou uplift and strengthen the struggling souls. And Thou, Lord, the Creator and the Savior, save the souls, creating new life in Christ, giving grace and power in that struggle to die to everything that is evil and to receive new life in our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, watch Thou over us and protect us, and spread the wings of Thy goodness and mercy, and shower Thy blessings upon Thy children. And from Thy fold, Thou remove every offense, every iniquity, every evil. Holy Father, grant us that true and perfect love of Thine, to keep Thy commandments, to obey all that Thou art commanding to us in Christ, that we may have the comfort and the strength, that we may have the guidance and protection, this short pilgrimage of ours, O Lord God Almighty, that after this short life, we may enter into that life everlasting, that we may hear Thy calling again, come, O ye blessed, and receive the kingdom prepared for you since the foundations of the world. O Lord God Almighty, that is the longing of our souls. That is the desire of Thy Son, our blessed Redeemer, that we may be there united forever. But now, O Lord God Almighty, grant us the pretaste of that heavenly unity and the joy of Thy salvation as a herald of the greatest joy beyond description, joy that will last forever and ever. Gracious Lord, glory and honor, worship and praise belong to Thee. Thy name is greater than any other name. We thank Thee for Thy goodness and grace, and we pray, Lord, that Thou be with every soul that Thou hast redeemed, that we all may be united in Christ, Thine own forever and ever. Amen. from the same chapter, Gospel according to St. John chapter 15, I desire that we continue our reading on the verse number 9 to the verse number 16 with the help of our Lord. John's Gospel chapter 15 verse 9 and on. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. This part I desire to read in our second reading from this so rich chapter of the Gospel, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we can see by the end of this book, Gospel according to St. John, there are more and more words, the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and less description or historical evidence of the things that happened. The Lord is teaching his disciples, preparing them for the events that will come very soon. And so in his sermon, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Whenever our Lord and Savior gave the identity, the description of his position, of his name, his authority, his purpose of being here in this world, in the flesh, it was always directly and closely related to the Father. You see, the Lord did not say, I am a Hebrew. He didn't say, I am a child of Abraham according to the flesh. He didn't say, I belong to this or that group of believers or unbelievers. He didn't say that he is taught or instructed by this or that great and famous teacher in Israel. He was and remained the Son of the Father. So he said that he is the true vine. Vine is a plant that is growing, and the branches that are growing on that true vine are expected to bring forth good fruit. But the one that is providing for all the needs of the branches, the one that is providing the strength and giving life through that vine, is the Father. Every branch that is in that vine, so we can understand the vine being having many branches like a bush. And every branch that is in that vine and bears not fruit, he, the Father, will take away. And every branch that bears fruit, he will clean, purge, trim, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, these branches are not necessarily just like the physical branches of a vine. These branches are alive. He said, ye are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Why? It's dead. The branch that bears no fruit is dead. As a body without soul, or without breathing, without the vital signs of life, is dead. So, faith without good deeds is dead. Why did the Lord tell us this? So that we could learn not to live by our imagination. That we could realize, if we have faith that we claim to have, we cannot help but bear the fruit. And if we see that our fruit, spiritual fruit, is lacking, we know who is the husbandman. And before we be cut off and removed from the vine, we turn to the husbandman and remember the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ: seek, and you shall find. Ask, you shall receive. Knock, it shall be open. But something that is not very easy for us, being weak in the flesh, not very easy to accept this. The branch that is bearing fruit, the Father is cleansing, cleaning, trimming. You see, with the Lord, there is a lot of comfort. And great peace have those that are living in Christ. And yet, there is not much praise for us. All the praise, honor, and glory belong to the Father, belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we bear fruit, He is correcting us, that we may bring more fruit. For His correction, His admonition, He is using His word, He is using His Spirit, the power of the Spirit. But that power of the Spirit worked in many diverse ways. We remember that the voice of the Spirit, the will of the Lord, came to Balaam, the prophet of Mesopotamia. First, in a vision, in the night. And the Lord told him not to go and curse the people of Israel. But Balak, the king of the Moabites, offered a great reward, great in the sight of a greedy and carnal man. And Balaam, known as a very powerful prophet, was craving that reward. So the voice of the Lord, or the will of God, was not pleasant to him, not acceptable. He feared the punishment, but he did not delight in doing God's good pleasure. So he asked the Lord again, "Can I? May I? Shall I go?" And the Lord said, "Go." And so, as Balaam was on his way, finally, the lesson that the Spirit of the Lord was giving to this man, so stubborn and not willing to learn: his animal, his donkey, started talking. And the angel said to Balaam that if that animal did not turn off the way in which the angel was standing, but the animal would have been left alive, but Balaam would have been put to death. And now Balaam is afraid. Perhaps he was trembling before the angel. But there is that earthly reward ahead of him. And he already traveled so much. And that reward is near. So he is tempted by his lust. And yet he fears God. But he does not love God. So Balaam said, if it's not thy will that I go, I will not go. But Balaam is saying that with an attitude of suffering damage. And who is the one that is causing the damage? God. God will not allow Balaam to get the reward. So he wants to go. And the angel said, go, but thou shalt speak only what I tell thee. But we see that the voice of the Spirit of the Lord can come in many and different ways. And sometimes that voice is very, very harsh. Very sharp. Why? Because we were deaf when the voice was gentle. And the voice was kind and patient. But we don't listen. We go our way. And then finally, the voice is very harsh. And someone will fear the Lord and turn back. Someone will not go like Balaam, just go on and on until he perished. You know what happened to Balaam? When he was not allowed to curse the people of Israel, he devised a plan how to entice them to sin and lose the protection that they had from the Lord. How evil. All the time Balaam is worshipping Satan. And finally the children of Israel come to the land where Balaam lived and slew him. So Balaam was joined to his God forever. Together, the idol worshipper and the idol himself will be burned in hell. Why he didn't listen to the voice of the Lord? Why he didn't want to be clean? His disobedience continued on and on. The Lord said to the disciples that every branch that is bringing fruit, the Father, the husbandman, is urging that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, when we have difficulties, not those that we cause ourselves, but when the enemy is trying our faith, assailing, attacking, the Lord is helping. When we are sad, He's giving comfort. When we are disturbed by the things around us, He gives us peace. And for every battle, He gives the strength. And then He Himself defeats the enemy. So sometimes it seems that we are doing nothing. And maybe that's the way it is. And that's our best. When we do nothing of ourselves, when all that is good in us, the Lord is doing Himself. We praise Him and we worship Him for He is so good and so gracious. But then we could say the other way. Look, I'm bringing forth some fruit. And the husbandman is not satisfied. He's trimming me. He's correcting me. He's not encouraging me. Well, he is. He's encouraging in the way he says, I'm the husbandman. And my son is the vine. And through him you receive all that you need. And this correction is for your good, that you may bear more fruit. this teaching is not human teaching, it's the Word of God. And really, when we understand the Word of God, the Word of God is still over the limits of our understanding. How can we understand this? In the verse number 3, that the Lord said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." How are they clean? And why did he say now? As long as they were with the Lord, as long as they obeyed his word, when he sent two and two in every city, every village and town, by his word they did miracles. By his word they were protected, guided, instructed, and so they were clean. We see that that cleanliness was only in Christ. The moment any one of them turned one step away, he was not clean anymore. That cleanliness was like a sphere in which they were included. When they were with the Lord, they were clean. The moment they turned away, they were rebuked, unclean. When the two disciples said in the village of Samaria where they were refused lodging and hospitality, the two disciples said, "Lord, wilt thou that we say that fire come from heaven and burn them up, as Elijah did?" Now, Elijah did not do that to Samaritans, but to the Israelites, to those that knew the word of God and yet worshipped Baal. But in any case, the Lord turned to them and said, "Ye know not of what spirit ye are," or, "Don't you know? Can't you understand that our mission is not destruction, but salvation? Not punishment, but proclamation of grace. Not premature judgment, but announcement of the final judgment." So the Lord said to the disciples, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." But then, right after that, "Abide in me and I in you." There is no purity outside of Christ. We never have anything that is our own and we can separate from the Lord and have our own gifts and blessings and power and strength or just about anything. No. All of that is so closely related and bound in unity with Christ that we cannot separate any of his blessings from him. You see, the people of Israel took the flocks that the Lord gave them and they offered sacrifices to the idols. Yes, we read that the prodigal son wasted the substance of his father. The blessings that we receive include the time and place and opportunities. We can waste those. But we cannot waste the love of God to love evil or sin. That's just impossible. For there is no room for sin in the love of God. God is holy and pure, and so is his love. We cannot take the blessings of the Lord and bestow those blessings upon sin and iniquity. That's impossible. The moment we separate from the Lord, we are so poor, wretched sinners. But when we are in Christ, then we are clean through the word which he has spoken unto us. "Abide in me," he said, "and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." It's very different language See, the vine, the branches of a vine are on the vine. They're not inside the vine. When you look at any grape vine or any other vine, the branches are branching off. But the Lord says that the nature of this unity is such a one that the branches are inside the vine. Abide in me, and I in you. How is he in us? That life that flows from the life creator, from the Savior, through the Savior, into the branches is the unity. The moment the branch is cut off, separated from the vine, that branch is dead. Except it abide in the vine, no branch can bear fruit. No branch can bear fruit of itself. So no more can ye, except ye abide in me. How do we abide in him? He said that we are clean through the word which he has spoken unto us. Daily purification is the way of life. Negligence is the path of destruction. And then he repeats, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, what is the fruit? He added, for without me ye can do nothing. We remember Joseph. Joseph brought evil report about his brothers to the father. So that's one of the fruits. He hated evil. He was seeking correction. He was receiving instruction. But then, when he was hated, he hated not. And when he was sold to be a slave, far from the father's house, far from the tents of his nativity, where he was born and raised, Joseph did not yield to the sinful lusts. He was faithful. And he was striving for purity, even then, when he was persecuted for his purity. And finally, we see that there was hardly any hope that he will ever see his father again. Joseph still was a godly person. And when he interpreted the dreams to the two men that were in the prison, Joseph gave honor to the Lord. He said, all of that is in God's hand. And so, when finally Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, again the same thing. God shall reveal to Pharaoh what the meaning of the dream is. The power and the wisdom to interpret the dreams is not in me. God shall reveal. So, perhaps we can understand a little bit more. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me can do nothing. What was so much fruit that Joseph did within the circumstances or in the situation that he was in? Anyone got saved? Did anyone believe the Lord? Not much. And yet, he continued. Perhaps it will be a repetition if I mention again that God is honored and glorified in the ministry of Noah, building ark and proclaiming the will of the Lord, announcing the judgment of God, and yet no one believed. No one got converted for so many years. And God is honored and glorified in the teaching, in the ministry, in the zeal of the Apostle Paul, when hundreds and thousands believe. Bringing forth fruit is the way we live. If we live in Christ, we bring forth much fruit. Regardless, how much of that fruit is going to be a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now that's a whole history. If a man abide not in Christ, he is cast forth as a branch. Do you remember the difference between the two disciples, Peter and Judas? When the Lord told to Peter, "Get thou behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God, but of men." Peter did not turn away. He did not run to the priests and scribes, Sadducees and Pharisees to betray the Lord. He followed the Lord further. Peter learned. But after that, a woman anointed the feet and the head of the Lord with that very precious anointment, then Judas said to the disciples, "Why is this waste done? That could be, that value could be cashed out and given to the poor." And the disciples accepted that until the Lord himself said, "You're wrong. Do you have some money? Do you have something to cash out for the poor? Go ahead and do it. Why do you want to take that from this woman and do some charity deed? Do it yourself." But she did a good deed upon me. For the poor you will always have, but me, the presence of the Lord will not always be there. Honoring the Lord is preferred above any charity deed. All the charity is done in the name of the Lord. And we never can do a true charity deed by taking something away from the honor of our Lord. But when the Lord rebuked them, the rest of the disciples continued as the disciples. But Judas was looking for an opportunity to betray the Lord. He did not abide in Christ. And when his betrayal, his sin was completed, he was withered. He hanged himself. He died in his sin. And is cast into the fire. And that's a long, long burning. When Peter's denial of the Lord was completed, Peter did not hang himself. He wept bitterly. It was a bitter feeling of realizing that I denied my Lord. And when the Lord was risen, he said to the woman, "Go and tell my brethren, tell my disciples, and Peter, in such and such a place, I shall meet them." Peter, even though he stepped aside, through his repentance, he returned back. He was not burned. And the Lord says in this seventh verse, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, how shall we ask what we will? And how can it be done unto us? Suppose that one of us is asking one thing and the other one is asking the opposite. Can it be done? At the same time and in the same place? No. If ye abide in me, if we abide in Christ, his word is in our heart, in our mind, then we ask what we will, and what we will is actually what he will. And when we ask what he will, it shall be done. Through that asking, through that prayer, we are closer united with him, and so we abide in him. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What is much fruit? Well, here we have already a list of the fruits. First, one of the fruits is being a branch on that vine. Another fruit is being cleansed by the word of God. The knowledge, the understanding, the awareness that the word of God is the word of God. And then abiding in him and having him in our heart. Another fruit, glorious, wonderful, beautiful fruit. And then the knowledge that only in him and abiding in him we can bear fruit. Fruits are multiplied. All of this is fruit after fruit. And the Father is glorified in that. Most of these fruits are not public, not out in the open. Most of them are unnoticed by the world. But we should see the fruits. And we should seek those fruits. Seek to see the fruits. What is there that is good in my fellow man, fellow believer? What are the fruits of the Spirit that the Lord has blessed he or her and blessed me with? When my brother or my sister is blessed, I'm blessed. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. See, verse number 4, abide in me and I in you. Here he says, continue ye in my love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And then he explains, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Remember the first three servants, first two that brought the silver, and they said to the master, Lord, thy gift or thy deposit, thy money has multiplied. But the third one said, I knew that thou art an austere, difficult, unbearable master, so I was afraid, and because I was so afraid, I did what I wanted, not what thou hast commanded me. Oh, that's a very interesting fear. I fear my master, so I will do the opposite, not what he told me. If ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love. You know that God's commandment is impossible to keep without love. Now we can struggle against the temptations and still do our Father's commandment, our Lord's commandment. But if we do something and we hate that, we are not doing it. We are actually making a mockery of His commandment. I wish I could have shared much more from this chapter, but there is so much more. Perhaps we can take some time on our own, privately, and yet together with the Lord, and learn more. Perhaps the abundance of the Word of God should not be limited by my inability. The Lord said, seek and ye shall find. Perhaps the Lord will give us more time. And yet, we don't know for sure. Any time. Either the Lord may come, or He might invite us to leave this life. But while we are here, may He give us the grace to abide in Him and to grow and to bring forth that good and blessed fruit. Whenever we do something good, we are immediately rewarded. Doing good is a pleasant thing. And the awareness that we are obedient and willing to do our Lord's will, that awareness is a reward in itself. And yet we know that we are imperfect. There are many shortcomings, often mistakes. But the Lord is purging every branch to bring more fruit. May the Lord give us more and more of that grace. May His goodness and grace be so overwhelming that we just, as in that song, I leave all thought of self-devotion to plunge myself into love's ocean. As that song said, that you may do exactly that. That His love may be like a flood that destroyed, removed, took away everything that is not pleasing Him and encouraged, strengthened everything that is pleasing to Him so that we may grow and prosper and worship Him this short time. And then, forever.